I Am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Among the many wonderful events at this week's Vancouver Writers' Fest was the panel this week hosted by our pal Hal Wake, featuring all six of the finalists for this year's Giller Prize. That was Monday night, and joining me now is Catherine LaRue, who is also a finalist for a 2016 Governor General's Award. Her book is The Party Wall, and I'll get her to tell us about it, the characters therein, and the stories about these people and how they relate to each other. And in this book, the reviews are fantastic. One compared her writing to David Mitchell, with many commenting on the author's deep examination of people, emotions, and the connection we have with one another, however that might manifest itself, blood, familial, or otherwise. Catherine LaRue is the author of two other books, Marche en Forêt and Madame Victoria, both published by Editions Alto. The Party Wall is published by Biblioasis and is translated by Lazar Leader Hendler. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program in Vancouver today, Catherine LaRue. Ms. LaRue, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And congratulations on these great reviews and the nominations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So I guess as part of all of this, you're traveling the country, visiting a lot of festivals like the one here in Vancouver this week. What's it been like seeing the country as you have?
It was wonderful. You know, most of the places I visited so far I had never been to. And it's great to be in Vancouver. It's very exciting, and it's great to know to get to know the festival circuit. We don't have so many in Quebec. The literary scene revolves mostly around book fairs, mm-hmm. So this is a completely different approach, and I'm loving it.
Have you had a chance though in your travels to speak to readers of your work?
Yes, a little bit. Yes, I'm. You know, I'm overwhelmed with the reception so far. People have been very generous, and there's a good connection with readers, so
yeah.
I'm glad.
And you've been. When was the first book that you published in French? When was that?
My debut.
Yeah.
It was in 2011.
I see. So you've been at it for a while now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I guess I interview writers all the time, and so. My assumption is that the process of writing is a very solitary experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so to finally get out there and promote your work or say, meet readers at festivals like as you have, is that, I mean, I'm wondering for you what kind of experience that is.
It took a little bit of getting used to, I have to admit. As you said, we're used to working alone in the dark in our cave, with grunts for words and that sort of thing. So, I think a lot of writers in general are not very comfortable in public. But I think I'm starting to get the hang of it and I'm liking it. Reading in public was also very new. That's not done a lot in the French community. We uh-huh. don't really trust writers with their own writing. We hire actors to do the reading. And reading in English, of course, is an extra little challenge for me, but I'm really starting to like it.
Now, The Party Wall, was that originally published in French?
Yes, it was. It was under the title Le Mur Mitoyen.
And so how long after its publication in French did it have this translation?
I guess the translation started a year ago, but this year it'll be 3 years since the original came out.
And so what's the process like working with the translator in getting this book into English?
I think it's different for every writer and translator and book. Uh-huh. For us... I told Laser and Biblioasis from the get-go that I'd like to be involved. I'm not enough of a good writer in English to translate it myself, but I really wanted to take a look at the translation, and Laser generously agreed. He translated a few chapters. He showed them to me. We met. We sat down for an entire evening. We went through my notes and his responses to those notes, and then when the whole translation was finished, I got a chance to take a quick look at it too.
Yeah, and so I mean, this may seem like an odd question, but does your writing change in a process like that? I mean, it obviously changes from one language to another, but the intent, say, or the meaning?
No. The intention doesn't change. I mean, I think it's not the same book. There's no way it could be. I have, you know, one of the best translators in the country, and he's actually the one nominated for the GG. My book is up, but it's mm-hmm. his work that's being honored. So he's done a fabulous job, but I'm also a translator from English to French, and uh-huh. so I'm very, in my conception of the work, I think that a translated book is a different book. It's very, very similar, the story is the same, the intention, the emotions, but there's no way it could be, you know, a faithful, I guess, like, photocopy of yeah. what was done in a different language.
Yeah, I don't speak French, so I'm curious to know, as a translator from English to French, if you took the English translation of your book and put it in French, it wouldn't be the same book that you wrote in French, right?
Oh, good. That's an interesting question. If I were to retranslate it, of course I would find my original wording, mm-hmm. but if another translator were to take this book, yeah, I think it's a bit like, I don't know how you call it in English, but, you know, the telephone game?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where the story changes a little bit each time. I think that's what it would be. It would still be the same story. It would still be, you know, you would still follow the same characters with the basic same personalities, and the same metaphors would be there, but there would be slight changes, I'm sure.
Yeah. So you talk about families in this book mm-hmm. and the relationships that evolve, both good and bad, from blood relations. What are these characters, I mean, if you took them on the whole, what are they looking for, really?
I think they're looking for two different things. They're trying to understand who they are and whether they are seeking it or whether it happens to them. Some revelations about their origins, about their identity, come up in the book. And their struggle or their journey is to try to cope with that. And the other thing that is, I guess, questioned in the book is whether your family is a question of shared experience, whether you can choose your family, or are you determined by, you know, your bloodline, by genetics, etc.
Mm. And are these questions that you were wondering outside of writing and that, say, inspired the writing of this book?
Yeah, I think I'm... You mean in my personal life?
Yeah, I mean, you know, not necessarily, but I mean, you know, not things that you obviously had to go through, say, but just things that you were curious about, and,
yes.
and you decided to explore them in writing?
Yes, absolutely. And my first book, La Marche en Forêt, also somewhat deals with the same issues. You know, are we determined by the things that happened to the previous generations? If, you know, someone, your father, your grandfather, or someone in your line committed a crime or did something very important, can the descendants still carry that? I think I'm preoccupied with these questions, and I think that, you know, in my personal life also I am, you know. I think a lot about who my grandparents were, you know, who, and in a larger sense, who my ancestors and what the society that I'm from, what they did before, you know.
Yeah, see, I don't know very much about my ancestors. I mean, I know my parents, obviously, and I know a little bit about my grandparents, but three of my the four grandparents died before I was born, so I don't really know much about them. And I guess I'm wondering if you'd suggest, say, writing, not necessarily research, but just exploring these themes is particularly useful to someone like me. I mean, if I took up writing, say, and decided to think about these issues in, you know, in words, would I
right.
know more about myself? And I guess that's the question I want to ask you is do you know more about yourself from having written about these things?
I don't think I know more. I don't think I have any more, you know, objective information about myself, but my point of view has changed, and I've sort of decided where I stand towards certain things from my past. But I think that's, you know, the writing helped that, and it helped to put it in words and to explore this. But I also think it's just a result of, you know, aging and having been in this world a little longer.
Yeah. Yeah, one reviewer that I read of your work says that you observe and explore human reaction to emotional stress. And so I kind of wondered, in preparing for a chat, if you have, say, better tools to deal with, say, the pressures that might come up in one's life?
I want to answer that my shrinks helped me with that more than writing. I don't know if I have better tools. I think for me, writing is not a therapeutic process at all. It may be a cathartic one, but I'm not trying to fix myself or work through my issues with writing. And I would say that my writing is much more oriented towards others. I'm interested in the people around me. I'm interested in creating characters that are much different than I am. I do like, as you said, to meet them in their difficult moments. We have philosophy classes in CEGEP in Quebec, and I like to refer to these pivotal moments as what they call the situation limit situations or critical situations, right? That's what I'm interested in. I like to take a character and put him or observe him or her in their worst moments or their happiest moments, their most intense moments. I like to write about births and deaths and diseases and breakups. You know, that I think that's where you really see what humans are, what people are made of. You know, what humans are all about.
And having written, as you have, I mean, three books or more now, do people still surprise you at their capabilities to for good and for bad?
Endlessly.
Yeah.
I think that's why I write, because that surprise, is endless. I think that, I'm just mesmerized by how diverse and astonishing human nature is and the human experience can be.
You also explore the relationship that siblings have, twins in particular, in one of the threads in the book. I'm an only child, so I'd be interested in what it's like having a sibling. Uh-huh. What interests you about the relationship that siblings have with one another, and especially twins? Because it's funny that in your book you have a twins that you write about. I just interviewed a guy who I found out in the course of research that his next book is going to be about writing about his twin who had died.
Oh my God!
And so, I can't wait to read it because there's obviously a connection that twins have that say other siblings don't, right?
Yes.
And so, what interests you most about this relation? I mean, have you got siblings of your own?
Yes, I have. I have a sister, and I think from a literary point of view, I started being interested in writing about siblings because I think it's a type of love that's underexposed or underexploited in literature. You know, like it's all about, parents to child or, a couple's relationship. But I don't see many books or not so many books about, two sisters or brother and sister, and yet I think it's one of the most important and fundamental loves that one can have in their life. You know, your brother or your sister is the only person that can understand and know the conditions in which you grew up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can explain it to people, you can describe it, but nothing comes as close as having experienced it with you, you know? Even your parents don't really know what it's like to have been raised by them, you know?
Yeah.
And since childhood, I was just at a poetry slam, and I don't know if it was a coincidence, but almost all the poets were writing about their childhood and what it was like being brought up in their situation and in their context. So I think it defines us so deeply that being able to share it or even disagree about it with a sibling is very important and very fundamental. So that was the reason why brother and sister. And then the twins, I guess in the party wall, I wanted to explore different types of distances between a brother and a sister or sister and sister.
Uh-huh.
You know, some estranged, some a bit closer, and I guess nothing, to me it seems like no one can be closer than two twins.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a general fascination for twins, I think, you know, just the way science uses twins, you know, twins that were separated at birth or to verify certain theories, you know, we use them as some sort of unit of measure for so many things interesting.
And there is such a connection between twins, isn't there? I mean, almost telepathic or I can't remember the word that I wanted to use. Like premonitions and the sort about the
mm-hmm.
other.
Yeah, you hear a lot of stories about that.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to, you know, fall into a cliche of what twins should be, but yeah, my two twins, there's something, definitely something a bit, I don't want to say magical, but, you know, there's something strange going on between them, definitely.
And you also write in the book of a relationship between a mother and a son.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's not really explored in literature all that much, is it?
I don't know. It seems more common. I guess their relationship is pretty unique.
Yeah.
And for, you know, I didn't have a son when I wrote that. I now do, but mm-hmm. so I had to, yeah, I had to use my imagination a lot to see what it would be like to, you know, have this relationship that was so close at some point, and you know, the character of the son is sort of a vagabond, and he doesn't really see his mother all that much, and then that relationship trying to mend itself into adulthood. That was interesting to write about.
I'm sure you're asked by readers of this book if any of the characters in it are based on real people. I guess people that you've encountered along the way inspire characters. I mean, not totally. I mean, the characters that you write in this book are your creation. But do you find that you are inspired by people that you meet along the way, say, or know quite well in terms of when you're creating a character?
I am, but I rarely write about people that are close to me.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I do, I take, you know, one aspect of their personality,
right,
and I try to... But in this case, three of the four stories that are in the book are inspired by true stories, by things that I heard either on the radio or read about in the papers. So the twin story is a true story. And Madeleine's story, the Chimera story, is true also, and so is the little sister's story. I've changed them a lot, of course, and I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to make it seem like I knew who they were, what their feelings were. So there were a lot of changes, but I these stories came to me, you know, it started, I guess, 15 years ago or 10 years ago, and I just collected them until they started forming something that I could call a whole. I think what's so special about them is that they're incredible. You know, I would have never dared to invent stories like that because I would have felt like everybody would have thought that it was too much. You know,
right.
It was over the top, but they were true, so I was allowed.
isn't that? I mean, that speaks to something we talked about a moment ago. Just how remarkable people can be in the situations that we get ourselves into sometimes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's unbelievable, isn't it? For you, a career in writing, was that something that you always wanted, say, even when you were a kid, that you wanted to be a writer?
Yeah, yes. Since second grade, I wanted to be a writer. Since the first time I had to write a story in class, I took so much pleasure in doing it that, and I had lots of imagination, and I really loved books. So as soon as I sort of was able to think about that as a profession, that's what I wanted to do.
And your mom's a librarian, so you had books around all the time, right?
All the time. And you know, a lot of people in my family are big readers, and they really valued books and literature, so it sort of trickled down.
I'm curious to know, because I'm not a writer, but I read... What happens in one's life that you read, and then you think that you want to do that for a living, say?
I don't know. I think it's different for each writer. For me, it was just, I felt good doing it, and I felt like I was good at it. It's not hard for me to write. I'm not one of those writers who have to sit down and think for a really long time about every sentence, and it's not painful for me to do it. It's just, I want to say easy. It's not easy, writing books, but it's, I'm comfortable in it.
Are there aspects of writing that you don't like?
I mean, it's, I like it when it goes well, when I reread what I've done, and I think that it's terrible. I don't, that's not a good feeling, obviously. And as I said earlier, I wasn't always very comfortable with the promotion aspect and the public speaking, but I'm starting to like it and feel more at ease with it.
And I guess another question that you're probably asked a lot is you tour the countries, what's it like to find out that you've been on the long list and then the short list for the Giller Prize?
I think I'm starting to believe it now. I was completely taken by surprise. I just didn't think that you know, my book was the kind of book that would end up there. So I wasn't even paying attention to the dates and the announcements.
Uh-huh.
So the day the long list was announced, I was working, I was writing, and I was, you know, making an effort not to check my email because I wanted to stay concentrated. And on Facebook, all these messages started popping up, you know, people congratulating me. Bravo, congratulations. And I was like, what happened? What did I do? Why are people congratulating me? And it took me so long to understand what was going on. So, that's how little I expected this.
I wasn't at the event on Monday night, but I saw some pictures on Twitter, and it must be cool to be on a panel with those five other writers.
Oh my God, I think hanging out with them is the best part of this experience so far. They're wonderful people, and they're such beautiful writers, and everybody's writing is so different. We come from different intentions and techniques and. So it's very engrossing to talk about writing with them. And it's, you know, the other thing is writers don't have colleagues. They can't commiserate. They can't realize that what they're going through is very similar. And so it's during these events that I feel like, oh, yeah, I'm part of a community. Other people deal with the same problems, you know. It's very, very nice. And they're also smart and talented, that those panels are very interesting and exciting.
It also struck me in one of the photos, when you look at, because, you know, I know about each author and I know about each book, is just how, what it tells the world that this is Canada at this moment in terms of our writing. And, I mean, that might be wrong of me to bring up to someone who's part of that, but, I mean, for the rest of us, I mean, you know what that says to us about ourselves and the world. I mean, it's such an astonishing and really a remarkable thing.
I'm not sure which photo was that.
Well, it was the photo of the five of you, the six of you, pardon me, sitting on stage.
Right.
And then you see the not only the diversity, but you know, obviously the talent and the remarkable books that you all have put out this year.
Yes, it's very exciting, isn't it?
Yeah,
we have some great writers in this country, and I must confess. I'm do my best to read everything that comes out in French in Quebec, and because it's, even if I'm bilingual, it took me a while to get used to reading in English because it's so much longer, and you know, I have to look up words sometimes. So I'm just, this is sort of a whole new world that's been opening up in the past few years, you know, since I started immersing myself in the literary scene and started translating. So yeah, it's very exciting for me.
Well, will you write in English in the future?
I might. I mean, obviously, I would. My voice would be completely different in English because just my range would be more limited. And there's something about writing in your mother tongue, maternal tongue, that's you know, it brings up so much of your core and such deep emotions that I think I'll always be better in French, even if I was perfectly bilingual, even if I knew every word in the English language and how to put them together, I would still be better in French.
And the next project for you, I mean, I'm curious to know, while you're traveling, are you able to write?
No.
Yeah.
I'm not able to do anything. It really is a you know, everybody says it, but and it sounds like a cliche, but it is a whirlwind being a finalist for the Giller. So right now I'm just, you know, doing media stuff and touring. And I guess in November or December I have a translation project. I'm translating Mark Furtkin's book, Fabrizio's Return. So that's what I'll be focusing on. And starting to do research for a new writing project, but very, very slowly.
Yeah. I just got the book a day or so ago. I read a little bit of it, and I really can't wait to finish it. It's such a beautiful book in many places. And so congratulations and good luck with everything, Catherine.
Thank you very much.
The book is called The Party Wall. Biblioasis is its publisher, Catherine LaRue. Its author joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plantin.